David Kelly. I'm Askia Muhammad. The Raucous Caucus starts now. Thank you for listening.
WPFW Washington.
Good evening, Washington, D.C., and America, and welcome to the Raucous Caucus. Join the fray as we broadcast live from the golden studios of WPFW 89.3 FM Pacifica. Join Terry, Mark, and Garland as they boldly go where no commentators have gone before to inform, even save the nation with wit, wisdom, and sagacity on the Raucous Caucus.
Oh, hi, guys. My goodness, it's good to see you. Good evening, Mark. Good evening, Garland. I am Terry D. Kester. This is the Raucous Caucus, WPFW 89.3 FM Pacifica in Washington, D.C., rocking the whole damn nation. And I'm with
Mark Levine
and
Garland Nixon.
And as always,
I got it right this week, Terry.
You did. You're just improving.
Yeah.
You're just improving every day.
It's
only
taken
you know,
me 2.5 years.
Should you be able to graduate nursery school? Yeah,
pretty soon. It must be because of all the pledges and all the support that we're getting.
Garland
is doing his homework. You know, I think that's what it is.
They're buying dictionaries and teaching me to read and write.
Ah, okay. Hey. Thank you, David. Appreciate that. David's helping us out here. Hey, I just want to mention a couple things, guys, before we get started on Pledge Drive and everything else. And, of course, everybody knows the number. I mean, it's in their heart. It's written on their hands. It's on their forehead.
Let's give it out again just in case.
And just in case, 202-588-9739. That's it. Call that number. Make a pledge. It's golden. What more can we ask? I want to thank people who have already pledged. We had a whole lot of pledges.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Really great.
It was great.
And this is just leading to all kinds of neat stuff because what we're offering for the pledge is the same thing we offered last week, $89.
And 30 cents.
And 30 cents. Yeah, you got to keep that 30 cents in there.
Right. Otherwise, it's not 89.3.
No, that's
right. People will be tuning to 89. It'll hit the wrong station.
Yeah, right. Yeah, everything will fall apart.
Or 890 or something. Who knows?
Right.
Yeah,
anyway,
you can give 890.
You can do that.
Three. We'll accept
that. You can do that. Yeah. Or if you want to give $89.30, then you get to pick the topic.
Ooh.
That's right.
If you pledge $100, you get to join the three of us on the air. What could be more divine than that?
There's nothing.
I mean, you know, just
strive to get a word edgewise. Just as we, the three of us do.
We strive. We strive. And for $189, you get both topic and joining us on air. And already, guys, we've got, you know, from last week, we had these great people pledging, and I want to thank everybody that pledged. We've got Eric Ramey. We've been talking to him right here. He's going to be joining us, picking topic,
and
joining us.
He's also a volunteer, and he's been working really hard.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I got to give him credit for all the hard work he's doing just outside
these
doors.
And then we're also going to have MC Moorfield. Now, I spoke to his wife, actually. She's the one that made the pledge, full pledge, and her husband's going to be joining us on the air, and probably he wants to pick on the Republican Party. I don't know where he gets these ideas.
You know what? I think that's a fine idea.
Mark and I will obviously be opposed to that. Right?
Eric has been talking about the Wisconsin recall, which is also a fine topic.
We actually want to beat on the Republican Party. We don't want to pick on.
But anyway, Mr. Moorfield's going to be joining us on the air too, and hopefully that's going to be the last Tuesday in June is what they're looking for.
Okay.
On that. So we're getting all these people
joined. Folks, you can join us too.
Yeah, I just want to give credit to two more people. Janice Grenadier is going to be joining us.
Great.
with Topic and Pledge. And finally, Stanley Glass is going to be joining us.
Oh, man.
And I hope Stanley's listening, because I got to give one little message here. Stanley, the phone number you gave me, I mean, it's obviously the FBI or the CIA or something, but all it does is it just is a busy signal. It's just a constant busy signal.
So, Stanley, call us back to fulfill your pledge.
Yeah, or call the station and leave us a number that we can get in touch with you so we can get you scheduled on the Raucous Caucus. That's the goal. That's the idea. Make your pledge. Give us a call and join us. Literally join us.
Yeah, that's right.
In the caucus with the Raucous Caucus.
Or just give us a topic and we will chew and dissect and spit it out.
Yeah, we will.
We'll regurgitate your topic.
We will regurgitate your topic in about three different directions.
Oh, thanks for the image. Oh, boy.
And if you're out in the hinterlands, 1-800-222-9739.
That's
1-800-222-9739.
You're more than welcome to contribute without joining us or giving us a topic. And many of you have. And we want to thank those people that have as well. Whether you contribute a lot or a little, it's welcome.
Yeah, we've had some really big, generous contributions, and we've had some, you know, contributions
solid,
to what you can cost.
That's right.
What you can afford.
And there are also a whole bunch of other gifts. There's jazz sets. There's spoken word sets. So if you don't want to come on with us, you can call and order and ask for one of those.
Why would someone not want to come on with us?
Well, Terry, I think it's you.
I thought it was you. I could have sworn it was you.
I thought it was you.
No, I thought it was Garland first, but then I looked and I thought it was you.
Well, Garland apparently has trouble with his own name. So
I don't know, so I wouldn't know if it's me because I'm not sure.
No sense in picking on him. All right. Well, we've got the pledge thing out there. We know the phones are going to be ringing. We know we're going to be ringing the bell, you know, with
new members
joining us and all that. Give us a call. Make a pledge. Join us. And I want to just add on one little thing that I heard Askia make it just a moment ago on his pledge effort. And, you know, if you just join WPFW and become a member of WPFW with – you know, voting rights and everything else, 10 cents a day. That's what it works out to if you made just one pledge a year.
It's less than 10 cents. It's $35 a year, so it's less than 10 cents a day.
Yeah, less than 10 cents a day.
And let's face it, if you're a D.C. resident, that's about the only way you're going to get voting rights.
That's about the only vote that you'll get.
You can finally get voting rights.
That's right.
We're 10 cents a day.
That's it.
And you're also going to get some really great discussions, and you're going to get some information and some opinions and some objectives and perspectives that you're not going to get on any mainstream radio, on any mainstream TV show. You're going to get something different. You're going to get the equivalent of the alternative media.
I thought it was just we had the right. I mean, you know, everybody else. Yeah. Anyway, let's do a little topic, guys. I want to make a proposal. I want to propose that Mark, you and Garland get married, and I be the ring bearer.
I think Garland's already married.
These are details.
Mark's a little short for me.
I don't happen to like guys with goatees, so you're both out of there. I'm sorry.
Oh, darn. There goes the whole show.
I'm guessing I know what the topic is going to be, Terry.
Really?
I don't have any idea.
I just want to know. I mean, you know, it's been a fascinating week. There's no question about it. It's always fascinating in this crazy city. You know, with President
Obama.
And it's
always crazy in this fascinating city.
That's true. With President Obama's announcement. And my original thought was, I thought, golly gee whiz, I mean, that's politically naive to do that. You know, for a lot of reasons.
Why? That's what I want to understand. Why do you feel it's politically naive?
Well, I want to get into that later, but I've changed my mind already.
Oh,
no, gosh. I was hoping that I could find out why.
Okay. You know why? No, because I went. I had to.
Who do you think you are, Mitt Romney?
No. Don't be rude. No, actually, I had the privilege of going to the.
Yeah, Terry likes dogs.
The new.
And doesn't beat up kids in high school.
He doesn't put them on the roof of his motorcycle.
Yeah, I got two dogs. Come on, don't knock dogs. Anyway, I had the privilege of going to the new Abe Lincoln museum down by across the street from
the Ford Theater. I want to check that out. You really do.
It's really excellent. You'll learn a lot. Yeah, I mean, you really will. I mean, there's all kinds of little aspects about it. Like, I didn't even know, like, the funeral train actually went east to New York, Philadelphia, New York, et cetera, before it went west to Springfield. Just little things like that. But also, there's all kinds of amazing things about Abe Lincoln, of course, and the tragedy there. But they have a quote from Abe Lincoln that literally made me change my mind about whether or not this was a politically naive move. And that quote is, "The probability that we may fail in the struggle ought not to deter us from the support of a cause we believe to be just."
Mm-hmm. I actually strongly agree that this was out of principle, that it wasn't out of politics. I don't think it'll affect the politics too much. It may affect it to some extent. I do think, to a large extent, most of the people who are opposed to marriage equality were going to vote against President Obama anyway, except for the African-American community, who's going to vote for him, despite the fact that he's come for marriage equality. I don't think it'll change many black votes. I don't think it'll change many white votes. I don't think it'll change that many votes, because he did not have the votes of the white evangelical community anyway. And they're the ones who are most opposed to it. He did have the votes of the black evangelicals. I don't think they're going to change their mind. And for white liberals, we're, of course, very pleased, and black liberals are very pleased of what he had to say. So I don't think it'll change it a lot. But in any case, I don't think it was done politically. In fact, I think he was kind of outed by his vice president. God bless Joe Biden. I watched Meet the Press. I saw Joe Biden say those words, and I both grinned and knew it'd be trouble the moment I heard it. And I just, you know, the one thing that I love about Joe Biden is that he is so impolitic. He says on his mind, and he obviously firmly believes in marriage equality, and he said so. And then afterwards, like, oops, I kind of got ahead of the president. But you know what? Good for him, and good for him, even though I think it was an accident, for pushing President Obama to come clean on this issue.
And I think Obama, I mean, has been very honest about it. I think it really has evolved, and I think that's, you know, a valid process. Garland, jump in here.
And I agree with Mark. Politically speaking, I don't think it's going to be a deal breaker for any particular group. I do think if we just look at it from the perspective of politics, one thing, it does a couple things. Number one, it makes it hard for people to say, you know, those who would argue, well, there's no difference between Barack Obama and Mitt Romney. Well, it's kind of hard because he took a pretty, which in some circles, there are many who would argue it's not in some ways the most popular stand, that in some, it could anger some people certainly. And so there are areas, you know, the seniors, the African-American community, what have you, the more socially conservative portion of the African-American community, it could hurt him. So when you look at it, you know, it's hard to say, well, he hasn't taken any principle stand or whatever. I think it gives ammunition. I mean, it takes away the ammunition from those who would say, well, there's no difference between the Democrats and the Republicans or Obama and Obama. Because
there are some issues
where, you know,
there's a clear position.
Granted, there are some where there's not much. I will say that. But there are some differences.
Yeah, this big is, ones. Big ones.
We have a pledge.
We have a pledge already.
Is this a new person? Do we ring the bell?
No, we don't get to ring the bell, but we get to be overflowed. I can't even talk tonight. Gratitude is what I'm talking about here. We have Dijon, known also as Laptop John, who has chosen, the brave man that he is, to go for the topic and to join us.
Wow.
And we do thank you. And we'll be in touch with you.
To learn your topic.
Yeah. You know, and I mean, this has got to encourage everybody else to make their pledges, because pretty soon there's not going to be a week left that you can join the Raucous Caucus
that
on the
true.
Air, you know, unless you get your pledge in right now. 202-588-9739. Keep on calling. Keep on making pledges. Keep on joining the caucus. Right back to the topic. The reason I was concerned about it is, you know, just some of the numbers involved. 30, I mean, this is despicable as far as I'm concerned, but 30 states, you know, have passed laws and, or more than that, actually, laws and constitutional amendments.
Including North Carolina just last week.
Yeah, right. Way to go, North Carolina.
Which is the state that he won. By
61 to 39.
Which is the state that he won. Close. And he's, you know, it could hurt him, he could be concerned with.
But here's the thing. If you look at the national polls, I don't think it's a cool. I'd like to say give President Obama the halo that he has in Newsweek magazine,
right.
that gay halo, and I do in most respects. And it was a very, very happy day for gay and lesbian Americans everywhere. But at the same time, I don't think it's a coincidence that he evolved at the same time in the first Gallup poll that the country evolved. You know, if you look at these polls, it's interesting. On this particular issue, there's been more movement on the polls than any other issue facing Americans. Whether it's, you know, abortion pretty steady, gun
among,
control,
look at the
steady
numbers
abortion.
Independents too. Look at the numbers among
independents. Well, Democrats, independents, and Republicans. Yeah. You can look at all three numbers. It's a clear upward trend. In 1996, only 27% of Americans supported marriage equality. Now it is
a little over 50.
It's a majority. And it's a steady upward thing. And the reason is, it's very simple, and everyone who studies it looks at the demographics. If you're under 30, 90%. I mean, even the majority.
Now, is that an actual number? Is that correct?
It's very high. I don't know that it's 90.
Okay,
but I do
but
know
high.
This. If even for white evangelicals under 30, the majority support marriage equality. Well, you know, and it's course, it's up you know, but, so, that, so and if you're over 60, even if you're a liberal, you don't.
But how does that? But how does that equate? I mean, the thing that concerns me
as time goes on, it's clear that
it's got to happen. But you
as a matter of history, he's on the right side of history.
But you know what concerns me is you say okay, the polls are a little above 50%, but when there's referendums on it, they're defeated completely.
But
so there's obviously something happening here between the polls and the.
Well, here's what's happening. Let me explain.
And the vote.
In the vast majority of those referendums occurred before this year, obviously. North Carolina is new, but most of them occurred in 2004 when the public was about 2/3, 1/3 against it. That's my point, is there's been such incredible evolution. It's very rare that 1/4 of Americans change their mind in 15 years. But on this issue, they have. And so, you know, in those very early days, you found even voters in Massachusetts.
You don't think there's going to be any,
I think North Carolina, one of the reasons why it went down to defeat so much is North Carolina is a bit more conservative than the average. It's a bit more southern than the average. And I think it has a larger African-American share. And polls have shown that even though it's – I won't exaggerate the difference because people often do. About 55% of whites support marriage equality and about 45% of blacks support marriage equality. And you could argue, majority, but really it's only 10% difference. So, right. So I don't want to exaggerate the difference. There is, though, a 10% greater chance if you're black that you don't support marriage equality. And I think the reason is because blacks are, on the whole, more religious than whites, more likely to go to church than whites on average. And
which
I
brings
think
up an interesting question.
More socially conservative.
But that brings up a really interesting question, you know. I mean, because, all right, so maybe they're more religious or one group is more religious than another, whatever that means, and I'm not sure what that
Maryland
means.
Maryland will be the tale.
Yeah.
In November, we will find out. Maryland, I think, may be the very first state in the United States. We'll see.
That'll turn it down.
That will endorse marriage equality, but Maryland has a large black population too, so
yeah.
it's going to be very close.
But I mean, you know, what I'm curious about, guys, and I mean, this is a social question as well. You know, given this religious energy against it as much as it is, wherever it is, you know, how can you possibly admit that it's a religious issue? You know, a biblical issue, even claim that, and then say, I no longer want separation of church and state. I now want laws that are strictly according to how I interpret the Bible. How can you throw away everything that supposedly our country and our Constitution stands for so easily, Garland?
Yeah, isn't it funny how we have such a history of doing that? But this, like,
we do.
You know, there's a lot of other things I've said this about before, and I'll say this again. You know, it's kind of funny, historically speaking, when you look at issues like this, whether it's, African Americans voting or the women vote or things like that, that when these things are happening, people feel that, you know, there are things that we need to discuss and think about, and then 50 or 100 years later, everybody looks back and say, "Gee, you know, we were cavemen." But at the time that it's happening, nobody ever looks in the mirror and says, "You know, I'm a caveman."
Well, there's always some
right.
people who do.
A few. Okay. Well, now I think it's one of those times. You know, there is no doubt, and I don't know if there's any doubt in you guys' mind. There is no doubt in my mind that 100 years from now, if global warming doesn't kill 90% of the population of the Earth, which it probably will, but that's another story. But there is no doubt that 100 years from now, those who are left, who survived the drought, will look back and say, geez, can you believe that people once thought that
gay people shouldn't have equal rights to straight people?
Yeah, I hope
you're
right.
Let's try to pretend that, you know, that people were, you know, didn't feel that way 100 years ago.
I mean, it's almost like we're in a gym.
It'll be in 15 years. By 2025, mark my words, every state in the United States will have marriage equality.
By 20 what?
By 2025.
Oh, no, not Utah. I guarantee you that.
Well, what will happen is, the same thing, you know, it's interesting. When you look at the laws against interracial marriage. Okay, in 1948, the majority of American states had laws against interracial marriage.
In 1946 is when the real issue came up in Minnesota.
In 1948, with the first state case struck them down. It was California. And California said, hey, there's no reason why blacks and whites shouldn't be able to get married in 1948.
No, 46, there was a case in Minnesota. But anyway, that's
it. I thought the California case was the first case. In any case, from 48 to 67, there was state by state. There were 19 years. And then by 1967, the Supreme Court said, hey, we're going to enforce the Constitution, equal protection under the laws. There were still 13 states, mostly in the South, that banned interracial marriage. And the Supreme Court in Loving v. Virginia, a very famous case, said, no, that's ridiculous. Interestingly, the lower court in Virginia that upheld bans on interracial marriage cited the Bible for it.
Yes.
He said, in fact, that God put the race races on their various continents because God meant the races to be separate, and mankind is messing up what God set out.
Which
so
just
he actually
killed,
cited
which just,
the Bible.
You know, that just destroyed the airlines completely. I mean, if you know, that's it. We can no longer fly from one country or continent right. to another.
So but my point is this. There was about a 20-year period between the first state and all of the states. And so Massachusetts was the first state to allow gay couples to marry in 2004. I figure it's about the same 20-year period. And by 2020, I give myself 1 year to protect myself. By 2025, every state in the United States, because even though Utah won't pass it, when there's 12 or 13 states left, the Supreme Court will say, hey,
but I mean, that's the real question. You know, why hasn't the courts really been involved in this? Why hasn't this gone to the Supreme Court? I know there's some cases out there, but this is something that so basically should be before the Supreme Court.
Well,
the Supreme
it
Court
has gone before. They've lost.
But I mean, they haven't really ruled that all these laws and constitutional amendments are in fact against the American Constitution or unconstitutional.
There was a case back in the 70s or so where they did
80s,
take
it
to the Supreme
it
Court, and it lost. Of course, a lot has changed since then.
Yeah, and they keep on changing the wording a little bit.
But I can tell you this: the gay community has been very nervous before these particular five justices of the Supreme Court to bring this case to them.
Schmucks.
And there's actually been a lot of people in the gay activist community who have encouraged couples not to bring it to the U.S. Supreme Court because they're afraid of Scalia and Thomas and Alito and Kennedy. And now Kennedy may actually be okay, but
you just don't know what you're going to get.
You don't. So, but now there is a case that's wending its way, and the time may just be right. And as you probably know, in the Ninth Circuit, they've said it's unconstitutional. So it will get to the Supreme Court probably in the next 2 years or so.
Well, Terry brings up a very powerful point that I didn't think about. A very powerful point that I didn't think about, and that is the issue of separation of church and state. I didn't think about it, but when I heard it, and that is there are people who will say, you know, I'm for separation of church and state, and they will, you know, ridicule those who want, you know, the religious laws and blah, 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 the far right, and et cetera. And they'll, you know, simply say, you know, this is a crazy concept. But then they'll say they're against gay marriage and it should be illegal. Why? Because of their religious beliefs.
Right.
How can you say you're for separation of church and state? How can you say that religion should not be enforced and there should be, you know, clause of in the First Amendment, freedom of religion.
Number one.
Congress shall pass no law respecting the establishment of religion.
The establishment clause. That you're all for that. Yet you're against something and you think it should be illegal based solely on your religious beliefs.
And it is solely on your religious belief.
Like that.
Because it's not something, you know, there's been a number of interesting columns about this, and one of the main points that's been made is the one thing the Bible doesn't do, and certainly doesn't do in the New Testament, it does not define what a family is, period. It's just not a topic in there. It's just not a topic of what is a family or what isn't a family. And, you know, the other thing is so interesting because people that refer to the Bible, of course, in the Old Testament days, you've got polygamy, you've got adultery, you've got everything
imagine. Adultery is prohibited.
It exists, but there's a commandment against it. Having kids by their servants.
Concubines.
That's but exactly my point is there's no good definition of a family. You know, and this is a big thing. You're destroying families. Well, that's just simply not in the Bible, and it's certainly not in the New Testament.
The thing that I find most astounding is the people who claim that marriage hasn't changed over the last 6,000 years.
Oh, boy, they haven't been keeping track, have they?
The answer is they absolutely know nothing about history. Not only was there, you know, widespread polygamy. In fact, the majority of human cultures had polygamy.
Yeah.
But generally, way up until the 1800s, women and men didn't get to decide that they married each other. The father would the families decided, and there'd be a dowry, and you had to basically pay for your bride, and that was the standard. And frankly, it wasn't just the poor families, the rich families.
I had to pay for my bride.
Well, but she deserves it because she's Jan special. But
and she says she's been paying ever since.
But I'm bummed.
Oh, that hurts. Oh, don't pound
it. We need a little drum beat after that one. but of course it has changed throughout the ages.
Yeah.
And I mean,
well,
just women's rights. You know, 100 years ago, married women could not own property in many parts of the United States. She had to own it in her husband's name until they married.
And in terms of a marriage today, something only like 30-35% of adult women and men are married.
Well,
I mean,
it's a small percentage.
You know, it's a decreasing percentage.
You know,
it's very strange.
They're like, well, marriage, we can't, you know, defile marriage or mess marriage up, or marriage is so... Wait a minute. Do you know what the divorce rate is?
Well, yeah.
It's about 200%.
Yeah, well,
you can't,
not quite,
you can't
not quite,
blame gay people for that. 50 or 60%. No, it's about 300%.
No, it's about 50 or 60%.
No, it's well over 100%. Because most people are married two or three times.
Thank you. I did.
No. You know what I'm saying?
No, it's about 50%.
My point being that in our society has accepted that if a person wants to get a divorce, that's
new
right.
too. But yeah. that's new
right.
too. That
oh,
was
yeah.
that was the 1970s.
That's right.
Well,
prior
yeah.
to the 1970s, they made it very hard to get a divorce.
Well,
so
even,
again,
right.
marriage has changed a lot.
Even in Virginia, if you get a divorce, you have to wait a whole year.
So how,
you know.
In a lot of states in America. But so the question, my point being, you're going to say, oh no, you know, gay people can't be married because it'll mess up the institution of marriage. Well, the institution of marriage has evolved, and it is, and now. There are, it's seen differently. And it's not that marriage in America is so perfect that if anything happens, it'll screw it up or change it or it won't work.
Yeah,
it has
its own problems. You know, we have to, guys, I gotta interrupt for one second because there could be somebody out there in our
wonderful
listeners.
Who does not know it's a pledge drive today.
Well, it could happen too, but they might actually have a different point of view. So all they gotta do if they've got a different point of view is make a pledge.
And then come on our show and tell us. $89.30
and pick a topic and come on and tell us. Exactly
right.
And
all they have to do is
$100 they can join in.
202-588-9739. That's 202-588-9739. And also keep in mind, and it's something we always talk about on the Raucous Caucus, and that is, you know, we're very free here to talk about what we want. We don't have someone standing outside of the studio with a whip and chain saying this is, you know, the big corporation that pays your bills, so you can't talk about this or this. We are free to talk about what we want, and we do it, and you get the opportunity to hear a lot of different things because of that. So we ask you, try to help keep WPFW on the air. Try to help support the Raucous Caucus. We know there are a lot of people who listen to the Raucous Caucus. You may not listen to other shows, you may, but you like the Raucous Caucus. You listen to this show. And we ask you to support the Raucous Caucus. We want to hear the phones ring. We want everybody to know there are people out there that like the Raucous Caucus.
And there are people out there, that care about, you know, one, having a little bit of fun, but at the same time talking about serious issues. And that's what we always try to do. That number is 202-588-9739. And again, $89.30. You get to pick the topic. You don't like our topics? You want a different topic? Give us a pledge, $89.30. You pick the topic. We'll find a time slot for it, and we'll chew it up.
And for $100, you get to join us on the air. We pick the topic, but you get to be on a 50,000-watt station from North Carolina, New Jersey, and we'll be four of us caucusing together, and you'll add your 2 cents along with the rest of us. And
$189.30, you can pick both the topic. And you can come on with, be part of the Raucous Caucus, be part of our little group, and you can either do
little
it here,
group.
Well, it's going to be a bigger group.
Yeah, I mean,
it's
a huge group.
You can be part of the caucus.
Yeah.
You can be part of the caucus.
The raucosity of the caucus.
Yeah. Keep in mind something. We do this live. Next month, we'll be at Ben's
next door.
That's
right.
So we alternate in studio and out of studio. So if you would want to do a live show, invite your friends, invite someone to come film
invite
it.
Invite your mother to beat up on us, whatever.
Your
coworkers, you know. Yeah.
You can come do a live show. You can pick the topic, and you can have someone film it or whatever you want, and it's going to be your day in the sun.
Right. And so, at the same time, you know, it just occurred to me, getting talking to some of these people who have already pledged and have already decided they want to be part of the Raucous Caucus. You know, if you wanted to do the show from the studio, and then we can arrange a date for that as well.
Well, then you could have phone calls. So May, just so you know, if you don't know, if you're new to the Raucous Caucus, every other month we alternate between in studio and being at Ben's. So this month in May, we are in studio all this month. Next month, in the month of June, we're going to be at Ben's next door, 1211 U Street. And you can join us there. And then July, we'll be back here again. So that way we can take your phone calls when we're in studio. Not today, because today we want you to call 202-588-9739 and make a pledge. But normally when we're in studio, we take your phone calls. And of course at Ben's, you can come and meet us in person and join us.
And the other thing is this. For all you know, you could be discovered. There are probably aspiring talk show hosts out there with a tremendous amount of talent. And you may come on the air
and the next thing you know,
sit back in awe and say, my gosh.
The next thing you know, Fox will be calling you and you'll sell your soul. So make a pledge before you sell your soul. 202.
We want to say we need you.
If they sell their soul, won't they have a lot more money to make the pledge?
Might work. I don't know. 9739.
Hey,
in any case, we got to take a break, guys. Guys, because it is WPFW 89.3 FM Pacifica, and this is the Raucous Caucus. We'll be right back. I think.
Into the Night and back to the Raucous Caucus. And we are back, and I am Terry D. Kester here with my good friends and colleagues. Go ahead.
Mixon, that's right. Very good.
Twice in one night, and he's gotten it right. Okay. Isn't that good?
And Mark Levine.
And Mark Levine.
Sitting
yeah.
here wondering why Garland forgets his name all the time.
I mean, you know.
And someone would send $89.30. I might just remember it.
That's it. That's the key.
That's what it is.
Yeah, hey, we are in Pledge Drive, and we're having fun discussing this topic, and it's a serious topic, and we want your input all the time. We wish we could take phone calls and everything else and discuss all this with you, but we can't because we're in Pledge Drive, so you make the call, and that way you can join the Raucous Caucus.
Absolutely.
On a big way. 202-588-9739. We need some more. We've only got a few weeks left in the whole year when you can join us on the caucus, so you better make a pledge right
Please
away.
Please do. Right. Because the spots are filling up, and the sooner you call, the sooner you get a spot.
Yeah.
That's simple.
Right.
We got one person. We need nine more. We need nine more pledges.
So, nine more? Okay.
And thinking about this topic, I was thinking about the evolution. Because I do think a lot of people evolve on this topic.
Sorry, Mark. I don't believe in evolution.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
Well,
what about evolution? No, don't bring me into that crowd.
It just spontaneously, you know, was here one day.
Yeah.
It didn't evolve from anything. Sorry.
That explains the goatee, then.
Yeah.
I don't know.
We believe that people rode on dinosaurs, Mark.
Did you know that I just discovered this today, a little off topic, but it blows my mind. It's wonderful. Physics has figured out there's no such thing as a center to the universe. Therefore, you can't be the center of the universe.
Wait a minute. I thought the Big Bang Theory suggested that it all did come from some center.
There is no such thing as a center of the universe.
We're going to have to save that topic because it's off topic today.
Is it off topic?
If one of our listeners chooses physics as a topic.
Well, Garland brought up creationism or whatever, evolution.
My point is that the president was evolving to get back on topic.
Are you saying the
president was a dinosaur?
A trilobite, actually. It's a fossil.
I respect him for what he's done and the way he's handled it.
I
really do.
I predicted when he said he was evolving 2 years ago, I predicted on the air that he was going to wait till his reelection and then do the politically safe move and support marriage equality after his election. I did not doubt where his heart was, frankly, at any point.
Mm-hmm.
But I did doubt, frankly, whether he had the political courage to say what he said prior to the election. Now, President Obama claims that he was going to say so anyway prior to the convention. I want to believe that's true. I'm not so sure I do. I do also definitely believe them when they say that Vice President Biden sort of pushed around. But I'm glad that he did because it shows that he is putting principle over politics. And, you know, thinking about the whole evolution thing, I was thinking about when Garland said that, you know, 50 years from now, people will wonder, well, how could people believe that? There was a wonderful Washington Post article about a year and a half ago, and it showed a picture of a young white girl in 1965 or so. She must have been 16 or 17, and she's pointing at this young black girl who's walking into a school, integrating the school in 1964, 65, and she's pointing at her. She has this very angry expression, like she's shouting and screaming. And then it showed the same white woman 50 years later, who could not be more apologetic and is ashamed of the photo and is ashamed of her role in it and was trying to explain how she felt back then, but it was hard for her, even her to relate to who she was 50 years earlier. And I think that this is going to sort of be the same way. Like I said, no one under very few people under 30 understand why the government would treat gay people as less equal than straight people. Just like I think very few people under 60 understand why we ever banned interracial marriage.
Right.
But for people over 60 who remember those times, and for people over 30 today, it has taken an evolution. And, you know, it's interesting because people are like, oh, I've been asked the question prior to this evolution. Does that mean Obama was a bigot prior to him making this decision? And I say, look, were you a bigot if you supported segregation in the 50s? Were you a bigot if you supported slavery in the 1700s? You were, absolutely, by today's standards. But at that time, it was the majority thought.
So Context is everything.
It took
Context
some evolution.
Is everything.
So Thomas Jefferson, who, you know, had sex with his slave, Sally Hemings, and certainly did not believe in the full equality of slaves,
wrote the Declaration of Independence that said all men are created equal.
Well, not only that, he thought slavery was an abomination, and he said so, and so did George Washington.
He said so, but he didn't free his slaves.
But it's the same thing for someone of his stature to back then say slavery doesn't work.
He definitely went further.
That's the same kind of thing than his time. Yeah,
but there are very
he
few
broke
people,
with the context of his time.
But there are very few people who not only break with the context of their time, but actually say the right moral thing, even in the context of 50 years later. And one of the few that I can think of that fit that role is Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Because when Bayard Rustin planned the March on Washington, and everyone knew he was gay, leader after leader, civil rights leader, went up to Martin Luther King and said, look, we can't have Bayard Rustin speak at the march because everyone knows he's gay. He was once arrested back when being gay was illegal, and it'll make us look bad, and you got to tell him not to. And Dr. King, to his everlasting credit, said Bayard planned this. He did a great job in planning it, and history shows that he did, and he's going to speak, and he silenced those leaders, and he did so back in the 60s when being gay was against the law and considered a disease. It was considered a disease by psychological, and people were arrested for being gay. And this was 4 years before Stonewall. I mean, this was it's amazing how foresight he was. We have very few leaders like Dr. King.
Very few. We don't have any.
And we may never again.
But let's move on here. I want to bring the politics back into it because it's not going to be a political issue that's going to go away. I mean, it'd be nice if it did. But, you know, Mitt Romney and most Republicans, you know, still want to amend the Constitution to define the marriage as between a man and a woman.
Right.
Mitt Romney is going to be the Republican presidential candidate.
Romney's against civil unions too, by the way.
Yeah, right.
He's not even for separate but equal. Yeah. So Plessy v. Ferguson is too far reaching for Mitt Romney.
You can't say it won't be a political issue because it is a political issue already for these guys. And you've got to remember, you know, that the Mormon Church, you know, put in millions and millions of dollars against Proposition 8 in California. And they will throw millions of dollars into this issue as well.
But they would have anyway.
To support Romney, but they wouldn't have done it on this image. Because officially, on this issue, rather, you know, officially, which is interesting, the Mormon Church is very strong in saying it is not political and it does not get involved.
Yeah, right.
But it does. It says, of course, it does. You know, and they don't endorse a candidate, quote unquote. And even when they ask people to go to the polls, they never endorse a candidate. At the same time, they've broken that pattern, and particularly against Proposition 8.
Right.
And they're going to, I suspect, break it again now that this is a campaign issue. It will be a campaign issue, I'm sure of that.
The irony of all this, let me just say, is that President Obama has very little to say on the issue because it is done state by state. So while what he said is definitely historic, a sitting president, the first sitting president, this will still be decided state by state. The voters of Maryland will have more say in November, or decided by the Supreme Court. That's right. But the voters of Maryland will have more power over gay people's lives than President Obama in November.
What it does politically, and that it's always important when you're running against someone, is to draw a clear contrast between you and your opponent. One of the big problems that Mitt Romney has is Romney Care, and the fact that on the right there are a lot of people who see him, they're not sure whether he's going to lunge back to the left where he once was, whether he still supports some of his more centrist politics. So he's having a lot of trouble with his kind of loose coalition and loose following holding them together. The only way he can do that is to draw a clear contrast between himself and the president. And the same with the president. He's had some people on the left, let's face it, that he's anchored pretty well. But what this does is it draws a very clear contrast between the two. I think that's important. Particularly, I think I would say, you know, you always give the sitting president, you know, a field goal, give him 3 points, you know, for home field advantage. But drawing that contrast, I think, helps the president. It helps to mobilize his support on the left, and I think it helps to galvanize his support.
Do you think we'll ever repeal Garland? Do you think we'll ever repeal the Marriage Act that Clinton signed?
I think Clinton
is losing more favor by me every day.
But Bill Clinton, to his credit, came out in favor of marriage equality before Barack Obama. Now, listen, he evolved.
But he wasn't president at the time,
he evolved before Obama. Now, you're absolutely right. But remember, when he passed this thing, only 27%.
1994.
wasn't it?
It was 1996. Somewhere around there, yeah. I think it was. But the point is that the American public has changed dramatically, and Bill Clinton, to his credit, has said he was wrong, and he regrets ever signing it. And honestly, I don't even think Bill Clinton wanted to sign it at the time.
Do you think we can get
he did so for political reasons.
Do you think we can, which is not too proud a thing to say, but do you think we can get it repealed?
I think that it is clearly unconstitutional.
Well, yeah, it was unconstitutional then.
Because the federal government, frankly, has no right to define marriage, except to the extent that it says that states have to apply the law equally to all its citizens.
Right.
And that's why in Lovely, Virginia, and in the present case, that you can't discriminate against gay people. But the federal government can't define
marriage.
But
the right wing is for states' rights, Mark.
Except when it comes to this.
Except when it comes to
marijuana.
Yeah, right.
And except when it comes to any other thing the states do that they don't
like. When it comes to social issues.
Let me ask you.
They make a law, then it should be.
We got to get back to reminding our members that this is a pledge drive, and that means we are asking for money and pledges because WPFW 89.3 FM Pacifica, 50,000 watts, the voice of reason in Washington, D.C., needs money.
Yeah, none
to
of
keep
it goes to us.
Kosher.
I assure you. It doesn't go to Garland Terry.
I haven't gotten any. No, I don't know about you guys.
I definitely have not.
You know, but we need you to make pledges.
The only thing we get is parking tickets.
And we're watching you. Yeah, we get parking tickets.
Weekly. You know, this is costing us, I'll tell you.
And gas and metro.
Parking tickets and anyway, don't get me started on that since I've gotten two. Anyway, 202-588-9739. We haven't had a call in here quite a while here, and that's concerning because I know you're caught up in the conversation, and I know you're taking notes.
Okay. And listen, coming after us is Brother Ra. He always calms everybody down
with some
really nice jazz.
Yes.
If you want to call in and you still want to participate in the Raucous Caucus, you can do so, after we're done, and definitely can call in and say, you want to pledge 8930 and choose the topic, $100, join us on air, or 1-8930 and both the
and
topic
you can, and
air.
If you really want to, you can make a pledge of a couple hundred dollars or whatever and say, I don't want to be on the Raucous
Caucus.
Right.
Well, you may want the jazz collection. You may
Oh, wait, we got a new member. Holy cow, ring that bell. Wow, what a deal. Okay, and let me just make sure I'm reading this thing correctly because I don't want to make mistakes. Yes, we can say their name on the air, and it's Carmen out of Waldorf, Maryland.
Thank you, Carmen.
Thank you.
Oh, man.
Thank you for your one.
I love Lefty's Barbecue.
Once again, Carmen has the courage, guts, maybe even the sagacity to join us on the Raucous Caucus and to pick the topic.
Wow.
Okay. So that leaves only, one or two weeks left that it's open for people to make? Pretty much.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Well,
you know something? If you want to join the Raucous Caucus and pick the topic, you got to have sagacity.
You got to have balls. Well, no, I shouldn't have said that, should I?
Sagacity.
Yeah, sagacity. We'll stick with sagacity. 202-588-9739. Give us a call, make a pledge. It can be for $35, it can be for $10. One of the things that's most helpful, and this really is helpful to the station, if you can make a pledge of, a committed amount for each month, starting with like just $10 a month, $120 a year, so that it's an automatic withdrawal from your credit card or your however you want to set it up, that is a really valuable pledge.
And again, ask the people when you call in about the various other gifts, because there's everything. It's like you can hear Rosa Parks and Malcolm X. There's a whole
They got stuff with WPFW on it.
We got Pacifica Radio Archives, Defining Black Power in the Age of Obama. That's an interesting one.
Oh, man.
Pacific Radio Archives, Defining Black Power Package, Book and MP3.
Right, that's what I was thinking
about.
I know has Rosa Parks and Malcolm X.
Got the Perfect Blues collection. I mean, holy cow.
Yeah, so there's a whole bunch of other things. But again, really, there is a new pledge. I mean, the gifts are great, and we love to have you. But the reason you pledge, let's face it, is because you want to support non-commercial radio in the nation's capital. We are the only non-commercial radio station, which means very simply that, except for during pledge drives, you don't hear people asking for money.
Right.
You don't hear corporations saying, buy our products. You don't hear, I'm sorry, you can't talk about environmental conditions.
Let me just point out how big that is because, we don't even take underwriting. Which is astounding.
Right, even PBS takes underwriting.
Yeah,
NPR takes underwriting.
Have you noticed how much Chevron is on, the PBS, et cetera?
Yeah, and National Public Radio.
I love PBS.
Right.
But, they have some influence there by corporate America. We are not subject
entirely
volunteer-driven to corporate America in any way, shape, or form, and they know it.
Which is why we can be so harsh on the corporations that are doing things like losing
$2 billion. And I can assure you, I mean, the way corporations are acting today, if we had any kind of support from corporations, they would withdraw that support immediately because of just what we talk about on the Raucous Caucus, let alone all the other shows.
We're one of the first to support the Occupy movement and do things like right now, a bunch of people are challenging corporate boards, and we've been very active on that. We've talked about the environment in ways that corporations want us to.
We got to talk about that, and you've heard it. The Potomac River is now the most endangered river in the country.
We also talk about
labor. A lot of progress.
We talk about labor conditions a lot. We talk about the middle class. We talk about the Buffett rule and then who pays the taxes in America. I mean, this is not a show that corporations are very fond of.
No. So Dick Cheney is loyal.
But that's why you have to help keep WPFW on the air. You need at least one voice in the nation's capital that is not controlled by moneyed corporate interests.
And we do one thing differently on the Raucous Caucus, which it's pure luck that the three of us came together.
That's
and
true.
All that. It was just,
we don't know if it's good or bad. It's pure
luck, nonetheless. We can't. We discuss issues seriously. Obviously, we're passionate about the issues, but we have a lot of fun because, I mean, you just can't be dreary about it all the time. I mean, you've got to have some fun.
WPFW is a very serious station and deals with some very serious issues.
And it should, and it will.
And absolutely, it should. And we deal with serious issues, too, on the Raucous Caucus. Mm-hmm. But I know that Garland, Terry, and I, all three passionately believe that it's okay to mix a little sugar with the medicine. I've heard people that come up, and whenever you come up, by the way, if you see me on the street, you recognize my name, if you recognize the man, Ben's, feel free to come
don't
up.
Don't hit him. Don't hit him.
Feel
Please don't
to,
hit him.
No, you can hit Terry. Now, feel free to come up and say hello. Many people have, and what they tell me is that we're both informative and funny.
Yeah.
And
that's what we try
to
do.
The tagline that I like is we're seriously funny.
Seriously funny.
Because, it's if you only deal with the serious issues. How come he always hands them to you?
I don't know. Here you go.
Garland.
I can't read him right. Mark, you'll have to do it. I forgot I'm there.
All right, let's see if we can read his name out.
I'm still working on my own name, remember?
This is a renewal. He is rejoining as a member. And where does it? I don't see where we can say his name.
At the very bottom there. At the very bottom, it's read on air. Yes or no?
It doesn't.
See right there,
air,
right there.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. Okay. Goody. Oh, thank you. There's the yes box. Thank you. Well, Christopher, we want to thank you very much. Christopher Graham Egvu from Adelphi, Maryland, has renewed his membership. He will continue to be a voting member of WPFW.
Good for you.
Thank you very much for your pledge, Christopher.
We really do.
During the Raucous Caucus.
That's right.
That's wonderful.
We've only got about
about
14 minutes left, 13 minutes left. We need some more pledges. 202-588-9739. Call us. Make a pledge. Join WPFW. Join the Raucous Caucus.
And it's not hard. Keep in mind something. For those of you who may not have pledged before, it's not difficult. In order to pledge, let me remind you, we take credit cards. You can simply call in. If you're driving, you can pull over on the side, pull your credit card out. You'll call 202-588-9739. You can give them your information. It'll take a moment or two, and then you can be on your merry way.
You can give them your phone number and have them call you back if you don't want to read your credit card while you're driving. Say you're driving, just call 202-588-9739 and say, hey, I'm driving. Call me back. Give them your number, your name, and they'll call you back and get the pledge.
And we've got these great volunteers out here waiting for your calls. They really are, and they're wonderful people out there. So you've got to reward them as well because they're out there doing all this work waiting for you to call.
And again, I believe we're the only show in all of WPFW, the Raucous Caucus, that actually allows you to come on air and join the caucus.
Let
me tell you, it's a risk that we take.
Oh, it is a risk. Yes, it is.
Not just on WPFW. Think about this. Around Washington, D.C.,
yeah.
Around Baltimore, around New York, where are you going to find a 50,000-watt radio station that you can pick the topic and go on in L.A., you name it. Tell me where you can go in this nation find a 50,000-watt radio station.
And that's why
you can pick the topic, and you can come on air and talk about it. 202-588-9739. You can do that. Mark?
$89.30
for topic.
$100, you join us.
And $189.30. Under $200, you can pick
less
the topic.
Than a dollar, about 50 cents a day.
Yeah. You can pick the topic and you can talk about the topic on a 50,000 watt radio station in Washington, D.C. That is an opportunity.
They're
going to
hear you in Pennsylvania,
say,
West
how
Virginia.
Many we have already six people who've chosen this option. So the next, we have many, many weeks. We're going to have
many
guest people.
Yeah, right.
So call in now while you still, this is still
and
open.
You know, and we're really glad that you have had the chutzpah and the passion and everything else to join us on the Raucous Caucus and to participate, picking topic, joining us on the air, or doing both. We really do. We know, you know, it's a challenge for us. Heaven knows what topic you may pick. We'll respect it. We'll do what we can with it, and we'll join you with it.
We may have to learn some. I mean, if you, you know,
that would be good.
You know, if your topic is fast cars, I'm going to have to do some research.
You know, if your topic is particle non-locality, you know.
I have to ask.
We're back to quantum physics and now center of the universe.
I will learn quantum physics if I have to.
We'll have to work on our theory about the Higgs boson, but we'll get it straight.
I know it, and they couldn't find it. Isn't that terrible? They just haven't found it.
But it's there. I'm telling you, the Higgs boson exists.
Not that we're getting off topic.
No, we're not, because Mr. Higgs married Mr. Boson, and that's why.
And it was illegal at the time.
That's how they named the particle. That's how we get back on topic.
Are we rewriting history?
My segues, I got to tell you. I've been working on them.
That's why they called it entangled photons. entangled photons.
Well, now that we've confused the entire listening audience.
Yes, we certainly have.
202-588-9739. Give a call. Make a pledge. Join the Raucous Caucus one way or the other. Join WPFW
one
way or the other.
And we'll change the spin on your electron.
So, oh, my God. Really? Really, we'll just kind of move on.
You've got to change the dosage. There's no question about it.
So, gentlemen, I want to know if you agree with me. I've gone out on a limb, as I am wont to do, and made a prediction, and I haven't heard the two of you say yay or nay. I say by 2025...
Do you think we're still going to be on the air by 2025?
I hope so. If they'll pledge, we may be. If they don't pledge, we may not be. But by 2025,
every, it's up to our listeners.
Every state in the United States, in addition to District
except
Columbia,
for Utah.
Including Utah.
No, does that include Texas? No.
I'm telling you, I say by 2020. Actually, you know, I'm going to say by 2016. Oh, no, that's too soon. 2018. By 2018,
pick a year.
2018, it'll be the majority of states. And by 2025,
every state
in the United States.
In 6 years, the majority of states are going to reverse a constitutional amendment to their constitution. Boy, you are an optimist.
The majority total. I mean, we already have, there's six states in D.C., and another three states are in the wings.
Yeah, and there's
so we're
30
about 10
states,
or 11.
There's 30 states that
right.
have
so
got
Right, so only five of those have to change their constitution out of the 30 to make a majority, 25 states. I think we can do it by 2018, and I think the entire country by 2025.
26 states would make a majority just to keep you...
25 in D.C. No, because D.C. counts as the tiebreaker.
I only have to get
the 25. Okay. Now, so, gentlemen, am I dreaming? Do you think it's possible?
Yeah. I don't know. You know, you're
optimistic as I am.
You know,
yes, you're dreaming.
Maybe a little optimistic.
Yeah.
But, you know,
I think we can do
you
it.
You know, something very simple here, though. Let me simplify this thing to
please,
me. Because I'm
please,
a simpleton.
Please.
I just don't understand why I should care if two other people who are living their own life and minding
it's
their
really
own business
mean to say,
that I don't even know who are happy with their lives the way they are, why I should care to impose what I think is right, wrong, or indifference, or whether I even have a right to say if it's right or wrong, but why I should say they shouldn't be able to live their lives the way they want.
There's only one reason that anybody cares about it, and this is the sad truth. Is if they're brought up and taught to hate it or taught to fear it, it is not a natural, intellectual, or rational, or even emotional conclusion. It just doesn't make any sense whatsoever.
I'll tell you this. I think it is about live and let live, but I also think that when people think about it, and I've talked with, and I've even brought on WPFW people who disagree with me on this issue, because I believe in talking with people who disagree. I think that some of it is an emotional thing, not necessarily even a religious thing, but people sort of imagine if they had to marry someone of the same sex and they don't want to do that. And you kind of have to keep reminding people there is no requirement that anyone get married with anyone else.
They're going to come to your house. This is Bob.
Right.
Okay.
You know,
I
think it's the same kind of stuff that made people reluctant about interracial marriage back in the 60s. Yeah. It's like, well, I don't want to marry someone of a different race. Well, you know what? You don't have to.
No.
But if President Obama's parents want to, you don't even know them. Leave them alone. Let them be happy. Why would you want to ruin some? I mean, you know, at least
why
you
do
should
they feel threatened.
At least you should know someone before you ruin their lives. I mean, if you know somebody,
oh, there's a good justification.
That's what marriage is all about.
I mean, yeah, if you know somebody you dislike them, maybe then you want to ruin their lives.
Yeah.
But think about how much more cruel. And that's bad enough. Think how much more cruel it is to work hard to ruin the lives of two complete strangers. I mean, you got to be really kind of mean. I think.
If you think
about it,
it doesn't make any logical sense. But what does make logical sense is supporting WPFW and the Rockets Caucus. And we have another pledge here.
Yay!
And I'm very grateful. And I can't give the information, but that doesn't mean we're not grateful. And I will note that this wonderful person who just made a pledge that they gave a big enough pledge that if they want,
they can join us on the air and pick the topic. Thank you, Mr. or Ms. Anonymous.
Yeah,
and
thank
I gotta
you
tell you
much.
Something. You know, whether we read your name or not, we really do appreciate.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Because, it doesn't say whether we can read the name on air or not.
Yes,
so maybe we can. This person has certainly given enough that they can join us. And so we hope that that person will. Again, we can't read the name until you give us permission to.
As far as the date you were picking, and Garland, just a second, you know, the date you're picking when it's going to be. By that time, Utah, Texas, and all those other states will have left the nation.
Yeah.
Trust me.
Hopefully,
so that's going to solve the problem.
Texas, I think, will be a majority Latino population by that date, and we'll switch from a red state to a blue state.
Let me tell you one. Me tell you one little thing.
By 2025,
having lived in Texas, having worked
you
in
existed.
Texas,
you can't even call it life in Texas.
No, you can't.
You existed there.
Having existed in Texas and worked a lot in Texas, the Latinos are saving Texas.
Well, exactly.
In so
That's
many
point.
Ways, it's
That's
unbelievable.
That's exactly my point.
Yeah.
They
and
send
for
the
them.
Texans.
Yeah.
They can bring back that state from now. Oklahoma, there's no hope. But Texas.
Garland, go ahead. You wanted to make a point.
No, I don't know what it was. But now, forget it. Once you start talking about Texas, my mind just goes crazy.
I hear Austin is very nice.
Everybody, and
the rest of the state, I don't know, but I hear Austin is very nice.
Yeah, Austin is.
You know, what I was going to say, what's interesting.
We've only got 5 minutes. We need some more pledges, but go ahead, Garland.
What's interesting is
that
the three of us, you know, we argue about things. We never agree on anything. But we also agree on everything, which is kind of weird.
Yeah.
But on this particular issue, the three of us look at it basically from the same perspective. You know, both of us have the same compassion for other humans. And we don't add in a whole lot of that silliness in our mind that other people tell us, that, you know, a way we should see things or think or the way society should be. And we just simply say, it's best if everyone is allowed to live their lives in happiness.
Yeah, and how could you possibly want any law passed that deliberately denies equality
to another American?
To another American.
Exactly.
I mean, we've got enough problems with economic inequality, which is the true inequality.
Exactly. Let me say this also, because a lot of people, and remember, it's still half the nation. It may be only 48%, but it's still almost half the nation that opposes marriage equality. And many of them will say, it's because of my religion, you know, don't judge me. This is how I was taught. This is what my pastor says. It's because of my religion. I'd like you to think of religious – and they say, and you're violating my religious freedom by trying to force this down my throat. I've heard people say this.
It's the exact opposite.
Here's how I want you to think about religious freedom if you feel that way. I just want you to think about it this way. To me, religious freedom is the freedom to practice your own religion in any way it affects you and your family and to pray who you want to and choose your own religion. If you want to keep the kosher laws or if you want to not have an abortion,
you know what
or
this
you
means.
Want to
allow
foods
or whatever.
If you want to fast or pray five times a day, that's great. But the second that you try to impose on someone else's religious freedom,
you're not practicing your religion.
So the point is, religious freedom means the right to choose for yourself what your religion practice will be.
It
does not include the right to impose your religion
on
others.
How do we not allow polygamy?
You know, it's an interesting question.
Yeah. Right.
And how soon will it be before we have to?
I'll give you my answer. When people have asked me this, I say the 14th Amendment requires equal protection of the laws. It requires equality. Because we get so many benefits as a condition of marriage in the United States, it would be unfair, you could argue, and I think it's not a bad argument, if you get, for example, one partner for health care. If you have, if you're polygamous, you get two or three or four times the benefits, and that's not equality under the law.
Well, you're not getting it. The individuals are getting it.
No, but the point is that if the taxpayer gives you, Terry, enough for one spouse and gives Garland enough for four, then Garland's getting four times the benefits.
No, because the spouses are getting it. So that argument doesn't hold.
No, but the point is, I'm taking you to court, kid.
That whole argument does not hold.
I think you can argue that polygamy is not equality because it's not one.
Well, I think there'd have to be some things such as, you know, a spouse, if someone dies and a spouse can get their Social Security, et cetera, they would have to divide it by the number of spouses.
For some reason or other, you guys could go on forever. Now, I, of course, realize the structure of the show and realize that we're running out of time. Terry's the cool head here.
The cool head. And let's not forget polyandry. Why can't a woman have many husbands?
But that's for another day.
We know Terry's the cool head.
Maybe that's a reasonable one.
Okay, we've got the word. We got to get off the air.
202-588-9739. Please pledge.
Please pledge, and thank you so much for joining the Raucous Caucus. As a pleasure and as a listener, we enjoy you.
Celebrating Jazz Appreciation Month. This is WP.